Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a couple minutes, I'll have the latest update on our telethon. How are we doing? We hope that you can help out. We only have a couple more days, and then it's the end of September. Our goal is $20,000. But first, we have a couple news stories, one from North Carolina, when the governor was saying that perhaps we should suspend elections to Congress because the problems are too severe, and they're not going to solve them as long as they have to get reelected. And, of course, Republicans have jumped all over that, but it seems reasonable to me that you have politicians who are too cowardly to do the right thing because they might not get reelected. So I know that the Constitution doesn't say that you can do that, but it's good to think out of the box sometimes, and sometimes the box is constructed out of paper used to write the Constitution on. It makes a box, and it puts it around people's heads, and they can't think outside of that box. So we'll talk more about that in a moment. And then in California, more evidence that our godless public schools are insane. This with a teacher from Northern California who says that he's been lowering students' grades by 25% if someone sneezes in class and another student says, God bless you, or even just bless you, just bless you. He's banned bless you, and he says that he's knocking 25 points off of a student's grade for saying bless you after someone sneezes. So these are the beautiful people who believe in tolerance and diversity and free speech, right? Who are so intolerant and so intensely politically correct. And so he says, well, don't you know the origin of bless you? That bless you arose when people thought when you sneezed that you were dispelling evil spirits out of your body. Now, I don't know, in my life, I've probably heard in the vicinity of 4,000 people say, God bless you, after somebody sneezed. I never met or heard of one who thought evil spirits were leaving your body when they said that. I mean, I've heard of the origin of a practice like this. Maybe some thought that your heart stopped. Or maybe back about 1,400 years ago, out of concern for the plague that was ravaging Europe, if the Pope would say to someone who sneezed, may God bless you, hoping that they would be physically well and not succumb to the plague, that could be. Maybe some superstitious people might have thought your heart stopped, or maybe some people thought that evil spirits were leaving your body when you sneezed, which is quite a way to do an exorcism. But if you're going to look at the origin of some kind of phrase or some kind of behavior and then attribute it to the person who's continuing that behavior, well, how about those who originally tried to get Christians to stop speaking? How about those who tried to stop Christians from speaking words about Christ or whatever, or God, right? Go back in history in your mind. What was the origin of that? Well, the origin of that was those who tried to silence Christians from saying Christian things. They wanted to kill the Christians. That was their motivation. It had nothing to do with evil spirits or your heart stopping. They would try to silence Christians because really they wanted to kill them. So would it make any sense to say that Steve Kukovich, is that his real name? Steve Kukovich. Steve Kukovich, he's continuing a practice that goes back 2,000 years. And so what does he want to kill these students? Now, wouldn't that be absurd to attribute that to him? Because originally that's what people meant. Yesterday, a woman at a coffee shop I was in, she sneezed. And the first thing I thought of course, was the Ebola virus. Not really. The first thing I did was say, God bless you. She was, you know, an older gal sitting reading a book. And I said, God bless you. And she looked up and she smiled ear to ear. She was just so thankful for just a little bit of human interaction in this age of the internet and chat rooms and all. Do they still have chat rooms? Oh, no, they were all bought by Facebook. So she was just so happy that a stranger would show an interest and concern and want God to bless you. So it's just an opportunity to be polite and kind to one another. That's it. But the public schools that teach tolerance and diversity and free speech, they are among the most intolerant places where if you want to talk about Jesus Christ, you know, you can have Muslims even getting down on a prayer rug in California and praying to Mecca, and you would think they'd point one direction, but with the curve of the earth, I don't know if they pray through the earth or around the earth, but not only would they let Muslims get down on prayer rugs during class time, but then they actually, I'm not making this up, just Google it, the news reports are out there, but they'll get other students and they'll encourage them, look, you can do this, you can pray to Mecca, you could get down on the prayer rug, this helps you understand world religions. And yet they're so intolerant. So the teachers and the administrators are so unreasonable and are not worthy to be trusted when in any way they defend the hostility toward Christ and toward Christians. If you know a public school teacher who defends the hostility toward God, they don't deserve your trust. Now, there could be like undercover public school teachers who are there to save as many kids as they can from this huge machine that destroys children and is an effort through the entire godless curriculum to turn them against the religion of their parents' morality, against the God of their forefathers, to turn them against the God of the Bible, against Jesus Christ, for he said God made us male and female at the beginning of the creation. At the beginning. You know, the creation is the cosmos. And at the beginning of the cosmos, God made us male and female. The godless public school curriculum says human beings came on the scene only at the very end of creation, like just the second before midnight on a 12-hour clock. And we just arrived at the end after billions of years. And forget about that male and female. God didn't make us male and female. First of all, it was an accident of biology and animals leading to other animals. And you could be whatever gender you want. So forget that. Forget marriage. We don't talk about marriage because that's discriminatory. And by the way, if you have sex as a young student and you become pregnant, in fact, we could arrange for you to go to a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic. We can't give you an aspirin. That's against the law, but we could take you for an invasive medical procedure without your parents' knowledge or permission. I don't even think they could give them a vitamin. But an abortion somehow doesn't set off any red flags or problems in the majority of our public schools. And the big mistake is to think that our school is good. That's the big mistake, because what percentage of parents whose kids go to public school think, well, our school is good? Sally has a Christian math teacher. She does? Well, she did in third grade. Oh, what grade is she in? Well, she's in seventh grade. Is the Christian math teacher from third grade, is she there at the parties when kids are drinking and wanting to have sex with your daughter? Is the third grade math teacher there? Oh, she doesn't go to those parties. Oh, the teachers who do show up at the parties are the ones who are providing the alcohol and the dope. So the public schools that supposedly teach tolerance, diversity, and free speech are utterly intolerant of the moral teachings of Scripture, the most basic Christian custom and culture. They're intolerant. They can't even sing Christmas carols. They can't even have a Christmas break. Can't have a Christmas break. Can't have an Easter break. Imagine these liberals. Do you think they condemn Turkey, the government and culture in Turkey, for having Ramadan? You know, Ramadan a ding dong. You think they condemn them, and you think they say no Muslim country in the world should celebrate Ramadan? Their government, their media, they shouldn't talk about Ramadan because that's a religious. Of course not. They think it's fine for Muslim countries and governments to have Muslim holidays. They think it's fine. So it's not a bias against religion. That's not true. They'll go out of their way here in this country, in our public government schools, to promote and defend and say wonderful things about Native American religions. Sure. And those who worship Mother Earth, even. Sure. And extremely gracious, like George W. Bush, overwhelmingly gracious toward the Quran and Muhammad and Islam, but never, ever, ever even utter the name Jesus Christ. Never, ever. Forget about whether it's something sponsored with tax dollars, even if it's just a Republican Party event that's privately funded. Never, ever, 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 unless he's speaking quietly to a group of Christians who he wants them to vote or give money to his campaign. So we live in a very hostile time when the hostility is just dripping. I remember when the president of the Southern Baptist Convention rejected an effort by many to have the Southern Baptist give out a warning, issue a warning of the godless public schools. And he said, they're not godless. They're not godless. You're overreacting. They're not anti-Christian. And the funny thing is, the closest public school to his home, just a few weeks later from this event, the closest public school to his home sent a note home to parents of kids in first, second, third grade that we're going to have our winter festival party at the end of the week, and when your children bring in, you know, party goods, make sure they don't bring in red and green napkins and no red and green plates. Now, why? Is there something wrong with some of the primary colors? I mean, is there a prejudice against red? And it turns out that red and green remind people of Christmas. And Christmas reminds some people, of course, it's mostly just commercialized, but it reminds some people of Christ. And therefore, we don't want to have red and green napkins at our winter festival party. The Nazis did the same thing, didn't they? They got rid of Christmas and they replaced it with a winter festival. Yeah. So that's from Fresno, California. The students are not allowed to say bless you. And the teacher said, this has nothing to do with religion. Nothing, nothing, nothing. But do you know where this originated? This originated when they thought they were dispelling evil spirits out of their body when they coughed. And this has nothing to do with my religious beliefs. Well, apparently he doesn't think when you sneeze, you're expelling evil spirits. So that has something to do with his religious beliefs. I mean, I don't think that either. It has something to do with my religious beliefs. So he's a hypocrite, and that is what to expect. There are good public school teachers. The good public school teachers are the ones who warn parents that the public schools are officially godless and that they destroy millions of children in an emotional and intellectual meat grinder that chops them up and spits them out. The sausage of the world is made in the grinders of the public school system. That's where the sausage of the world is made with our kids. And then there's North Carolina. Oh, by the way, our telethon, the goal is $20,000. We are at $8,800. That's 44%. $8,800. So $1,200 more will be at 50%. And that's so very important. I mean, that milestone, we're at the end of the month, but sometimes some of our listeners who love the show and want to see the show continue for another year, sometimes they just like to wait to the last minute because they like to torment us. Now, we love you guys, and some people just can't afford to give. And other people give even when it hurts. The vast majority of Christian ministries do not warn their church members or the people in their audience about the godless public schools for one primary reason. They know it hurts the financial support that comes into the ministry. They know it hurts. So they justify sending children to a godless system. And that's just a tragic thing to justify. The children deserve a godly education. There's no such thing as a neutral education. I mean, all you have to do is learn about economics, you know. There's no such thing as staying neutral. There is just no such thing. And so not telling these kids that right and wrong flow from God, not telling them that we were made in God's image, in God's likeness, not telling them that there's such a thing as absolute right and wrong is the same as telling them that they're animals and you decide what's right and wrong. It's the same thing. And so then millions of young people behave like animals, and our younger and younger daughters behave like tramps. And nowadays, that's almost an insult to tramps. And we just redefine what it means to be a good kid. A good kid is somebody who drives his grandparents up the wall to where the grandparents can't hardly take him anymore. That's what we call today, but he's such a good kid. See, we've just dumbed down our definition of good and moral, respectable, honorable, intelligent, well-educated. We just dumbed all of that down. It's very difficult to continue a ministry when the message is so painful. If you read the Bible, you'll see that in the Bible, Jesus Christ would say things that are so obviously true, and people in the audience listening would say, let's take up a collection. No, that's not what they'd say. They would turn their backs on the Lord and walk away. And they would just disperse. And the apostles would come and say, Lord, you're offending everybody. And Jesus would say, I'm so sorry. They just didn't understand me. Call them back. I'll put it in a different way. No, he wouldn't say that. He'd say, I offended them. There's a lot more where that comes from. He is called the rock of offense. Jesus is called that, the rock of offense. And he says, well, I offended them. Well, I'm going to offend a lot more people because the truth is unavoidably offensive in a fallen world where the world is in rebellion against God. And what do you think in America? You think where the culture's in rebellion against God? That's why years ago I did a sermon called Tyrant Dad, because the more godless and dangerous the culture becomes, dangerous for our children, the more a good dad comes across as a tyrant. Because it used to be you had to protect your kids from just, you know, a handful of possibilities out there in the world more than 40, 50 feet from your house. Now you have to protect your kids from neighbors who let their kids watch virtual porn as they grow up, whether it's MTV or whatever. And you have to protect your kids from going to the park. And you have to protect your kids in your own living room from things that are piped into your house over cable or satellite TV. And even if they only watch good programs, the commercials are enough to destroy their innocence. And you got to protect your kids from the internet. And we have to protect our kids everywhere you turn. And it's just very difficult, of course. But it's a challenge that people who love God get the courage to rise up to meet. And so, Tyrant Dad. And there are strategies for how to offset the need to say no about 1,000 times as the kids are growing up. No, you can't do that. Yeah, but our friends are going to the movies and then they're going to hang out at the mall. No, you can't do that. So, and our neighbor friends, they're having a sleepover and, you know, Johnny and, his 14-year-old sister, she's going to be in her own room, but Johnny and his friends, they invited me to sleep over and, you know, Johnny has a computer and a TV in his room and an iPad and whatever else. And you say no, and you come across like a tyrant out of exercising love and wisdom and courage with your children. And so we offer that. We offer a book, a very short book, called Train Up a Child. And with it, every copy of that, we include an audio CD of Tyrant Dad. And so we do that because we care deeply for the families and the kids that are within earshot of our ministry, our outreach. And it's very difficult. It's very difficult to raise funds to continue to reach out. Because indeed, there are people listening who get offended when you warn them that their children, they're sending their children to a godless school who wants their kids. I mean, the culture in the school, the other kids, the flesh of every teenager combined in the single building of a couple hundred kids or more. And somehow the system has to overcome all that influence to bring your kids down and that they sink toward hell itself. And somehow the system is going to have enough wisdom to make sure that it's a net positive effect on your child. The system that is officially godless is going to have enough wisdom. And it just doesn't happen. So our telethon, 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. You know, we have a Bible study series, verse by verse study of the book of Genesis. And it is so fun. Genesis creation, and then Genesis the fall. We just got a $100 gift from Indiana. We're streaming over there in Indiana. We're streaming. All right, we're streaming in Indiana. I guess we're streaming around the world, right, on the internet. Praise the Lord. And this telethon, this month, September, this is to keep Bob and Yurt live on the internet for another year. Streaming and archived. Sometimes one of our shows will strike a certain subculture, whether it has to do with the creation evolution debate or homeschooling or the pro-life battle or Pepsi using fetal cells, fetal tissue, aborted fetal tissue in their taste research, and where Coca-Cola and what was it, Campbell's Soup, agreed to immediately stop when they were caught and challenged. And Pepsi digs in, and they say they're going to continue. They don't care. And so we do a show like that, and because the programs are archived and there are show summaries and relevant titles sometimes, then they become a bit of a phenomenon, and you get a few thousand people in a week, new people, to tune into a show. and to learn about God, our Creator. We're made in His image and His likeness, and we need to obey Him and not compromise and have courage and trust in Jesus Christ because He died for us and was raised from the dead. So that's all right here at Bob and Yurt Live. Hey, did you get our newsletter? If not, please call in. All you have to do is give your email ID, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. But we have our Genesis series, and we have these on CDs, but you could also get them downloadable instantly online. Genesis Creation. Does that sound? That's a good quality CD, right? I think that's good. Then we have Genesis the Fall. That's okay. And, oh boy, look at this. Genesis the Flood. Fascinating story. Then we have Genesis, Abraham and Isaac. Genesis, Jacob. And Genesis, Joseph. Did you ever wonder about when Jacob took his brother's birthright, basically stole his brother's birthright? You remember that, Esau? And there was a sibling swap when the younger got what the older deserved. And that happened with Isaac and Ishmael. And it happened with Jacob's children. In fact, it happened 5 times in the book of Genesis where siblings get swapped, the younger for the older. And why is that? Well, that substitution was all pointing to Jesus Christ, who came, historically, he came after Adam. He was Adam's creator. Adam was made in his image, but then he became flesh after Adam. And the Bible calls Jesus Christ our brother in the sense that he became a human being. And in that sense, he was the younger brother, in that sense, because he became flesh later, 4,000 years later, and then he took Adam's place. It was a sibling swap. He took Adam's place on the cross. And he received the wrath and the penalty, the death, that should have come on Adam for the sin of the human race. He took it. So the truth that is in Genesis and how fascinating it is and how it points to the gospel of Jesus Christ is just exhilarating. And that's one of the many resources you can get from us here at Bob and Yurt Live. Check out our website, kgov.com, and you can call us 1-800-8-NYART. We can talk about our Bible materials, videos, and I think you'll love them. God bless you.